Good afternoon, everybody. this is Michael, and we are working with the extra references for the first initiation video commentary. Actually, it's first initiation compilation video commentary. So we have, we're beginning program number 9. And we're talking about some initiations that occur before the first initiation, which is considered one of the great monastic initiations, even though it is an initiation of the threshold. So let's take a look here. Get that up there where it belongs. At the stage which we are now considering, this is from Cosmic Fire, that of the organization and unfoldment of the first tier of petals. This is still, what can we call it, in the hall of ignorance. The egoic influence felt at the beginning is but small. Well, certainly, in the first and second petal, and maybe something is growing a little bit in the third petal. By the time we reach the fourth petal, we're dealing with the recognition of the pairs of opposites of which the soul is one. So the egoic influence felt at the beginning is but small, but when the three petals become sufficiently active and alive through the energy accumulated and stored up in the ego, during the activities of the personal life, and that's a very interesting point, because it's because of the energies brought into the egoic lotus that these petals are also becoming sufficiently active and alive. Okay, during the activities of the personal life, a form of initiation then takes place, which is a reflection on a lower plane of the great monastic initiations. So perhaps we might call this the reflection of initiation number one, but it's not initiation number one. The energy in the outer circle of petals causes it to spring apart from the next circle and unfold, and in that order, spring apart and unfold as a complete tier of petals. The threefold energy becomes interactive within itself, and a very definite stage is thus reached. It's not yet, of course, the first initiation. This series of initiations is seldom recognized within the physical brain consciousness, owing to the relatively inchoate state of the bodies, of the vehicles, and the unresponsiveness of brain matter. So this is perhaps before we have a deliberate aspiration, because the person really becomes the aspirant as the fifth petal is unfolding. Yet these initiations, they are nevertheless initiations of a definite, though less important character, and they involve primarily display within the personal life of man of an intelligent recognition of his group relationships on earth, and not so much maybe in heaven. You know, there are group relationships on the higher mental plane and on the Buddhic plane, I suppose on the Atmic plane, and certainly we're told about those on the monadic plane. Actually, we're told as well about the group relationships on the atomic plane. Let's see if I can find that. This would be in Letters on Occult Meditation, around page 39 or so. There it is. So these are groupings of individuals. You know, we can't really call them monadic groupings, but they are groupings of the projection of the consciousness of the monad into denser types of matter. So 35 groups, 42 groups, 49 groups, okay. And it keeps on decreasing, really. On the third subplane of the Buddhic plane, 28 groups. And by the time we reach the first subplane of the Buddhic plane, and I wonder how we do reach it, as those particular qualities and cities are reserved for those that are higher than a master, 21 groups. And then on the Atmic plane, it doesn't say on which subplane, 14 groups. And on the Monadic plane, again, we're not told how they are divided according to subplane, 7 great groups. So, in fact, these are important groupings, and DK is kind of hinting at them. All right. So, intelligent recognition of his group relationships on Earth. So, this is a very primitive or early stage of group recognition. But as the initiations advance, an ever clearer understanding of various groupings occurs with it, and the factor of group consciousness verging towards consciousness of the one is cultivated. We're told here that this recognition is, okay, so here I'm going to say, you know, examine letters on occult meditation, page 39. This recognition is frequently selfish in character, as, for instance, that which the union worker displays, quite an assessment there, but it is indicative of group interplay, and the Maha Chohan is involved here, it seems. So we have, you know, we have now many selfish groupings in the world, but this type of grouping for the individual is beyond strict individualism. Okay, so at least there's the formation of a grouping process. A similar process takes place when the second circle of petals is organized and ready for unfoldment. I suppose spring and unfold is what we're talking about. Spring open, well, spring open, and separate from the other other groupings of petals, other threefold tiers. This time, the world teacher, the master, and the ego concerned are cooperating. Look at those entities, the Christ, the master of whatever ray, and the ego being the solar angel, who certainly is of great intelligence and understanding. And the ego concerned are cooperating, for these smaller initiations deal with the love nature, with astral or emotional organization. Now, we realize that in this tier of petals, we get the indication of the monastic initiations, let's call them the first five, as when the fifth petal is completely unfolded, there is the first initiation. When the sixth petal is completely unfolded, there is the second initiation, and there are corresponding developments in the higher sacrificial tier. Okay, so these smaller initiations deal with the love nature, with astral or emotional organization, and with the recognition by the man in his personal life of some form of unselfish love. Not yet the unselfish love of the first initiation. And of a love for some object, personal or ideal, which leads through altruistic endeavor and to the negation of the lower self. So the development of love is on its way, but of a lower caliber than that seen in the first initiation, the real first initiation, the birth of the Christ in the heart. Well, this is interesting, and I think if you, I've gone over these matters in this book called On the Egoic Lotus. You know, it's a commentary on the Egoic Lotus, and it has a lot of original material in it, or at least my speculations as to how to bring together the rays and the astrological factors in relation to each petal of the Egoic Lotus and to each circle of petals and to all of the nine, and maybe a little bit of commentary on the inner petals, which are synthetic, but maybe not too much is yet to be said about those. They have some astrological correlates and they have some ray correlates, and they are correlated in their partial unfoldment with various initiations, the first, second, and third, and they do not act as a coordinated tier, springing open and revealing the jewel until the period just before the fourth initiation. Right. So I suppose that the really important thing here is to realize that what we call the first initiation, with Christ as the initiator, is not really the first initiation. There are sort of minor threshold initiations to initiation one and two, which are also threshold initiations to something still higher, the true series beginning with the third initiation, the first solar initiation. Now, changing the subject actually quite a bit, we're talking about DK's group of disciples, and there's this disciple, LTSK, and he was a third ray soul, a business person, maybe kind of a financier, and he was very influential in helping with the publication of the books, a great enthusiast regarding the books. Now, so this is from Dinah 2, and let's see what it says here. This is, as I have repeatedly told you, an experiment in group initiation. Always the masters are using such a term as experiment, because they never know how things are going to work out, and the experimental attitude is a good one for us to have as well. This means that though each of you takes various steps in line with your particular point of development, there is also being developed by the hierarchy a new technique which, when perfected and understood, will initiate entire group units into the light and into the labor of the plan. And it is indeed a labor. We're told at some point that during the next 500 years from the time that was written, that the masters hope to present various such groups to the initiator. Maybe which initiator will that be? Will it be the Lord of the world? Will it be the Christ? It depends on the grade, the quality of the group being trained. Such a group must itself be composed of people who have taken initiation. And this is even even the first initiation is counted here. To take initiation in the common parlance is to pass through the first degree, even though the path of true initiation begins at what we call the third degree. So now he goes on to say one of these things interesting, as one of your group members will only take the first initiation next life. By the way, he will have a first-ray personality, DK tells us, and a second-ray personality in the life after that, him being a third-ray soul. So probably, let's see here, PRBL, LTSK, whose name was Bernard Morrow. So let's see here. In this, have I erased something that I should not? Okay. Okay. Right. As one of your group members will only take the first initiation in the next life, it is obvious that the group initiation to which I refer will not be taken in this immediate cycle. The rest of the group will have to wait for him. And what a lesson this is. All may be ready, but if an integral part of the group is not ready, all have to wait for the group initiation. That doesn't mean that they cannot continue on their own path with their individual initiations. So the rest of the group will have to wait for them. Very interesting. And I'm going to put here again, right before I got messed up, LTS K. Morrow was his name, and his rays were, interestingly, 3, 6, 5, 1, 3. All right. Those were the rays. And next life, we don't know the other rays, but it's going to be 3, 1, and the life after that, 3, 2. So obviously, he's moving more towards the ability to express the second ray, and there he is thrown in with all of these second ray types. You kind of wonder whether ultimately the monadic ray might not be the second, but that's just a wondering. Something has to attract him to Master DK's teaching, and at one point we're told that those who stay with a particular master either have the same soul ray as he has or the same monadic ray as the ray he is demonstrating. Now, maybe he's demonstrating his soul ray predominantly when working with the group, or maybe he's demonstrating his monadic ray in combination with his soul ray. So it may not be as straightforward as we think. But in any case, there is a kind of bond between these progressing soul groups, which means they must move together. And that perhaps one of their members could hold them all back. But DK kind of clarified that by saying, well, look, you're not really ready anyway. So basically, he's training his group for some kind of a group initiation, which some of them may have anticipated might happen now, in that particular incarnation, but no, it would happen in the next incarnation, or at least not in the immediate cycle. By a cycle, he probably means a life cycle, an incarnational period. Okay, so that is a reference from Dyna 2, where he kind of looks back and assesses the progress of the group and groups over the last 8, 9, 10 years. All right, now here is a discussion of the first initiation for humanity. It's from Raised and Initiations. The united activity of these two great streams of cosmic energy playing upon and through the third planetary center, that is, we humanity are the throat center, and the throat center is deemed to be, despite all the centers in the head, it's deemed to be the third center, primarily expressing the third ray. So the united activity has created the unique condition in which, quote, the race of men, close quote, can stand before the planetary initiator, the Christ. And when we talk about stand before, of course, it's not literal, but they are in a type of spiritual standing They're standing within a type of spiritual being, at least in their spiritual nature, before the initiate of the Christ, and this would be for the first initiation. And under the focused stimulation of the hierarchy, who supports the Christ in this, obviously, pass through the appropriate initiation, and that's going to be at first, the first initiation. It should be remembered that the masses of men can and will take the first initiation. And that, you know, there comes the big question about when the Christ will actually reappear, because his reappearance will signal that the portion of humanity that is to take the first initiation has taken it. But of course, we're advised not to say, lo here, lo there, he's here with us. There are some students and teachers who have done that, and obviously humanity has not taken yet the first initiation. So many of the requirements are missing. That reasonable degree of peace and a reasonable degree of sharing and the house cleaning of political and religious groups, it's all missing. But in process, we might say, especially the house cleaning is in process. So obviously the Christ has not reappeared. And, you know, if you put different pieces of the teaching together, then these errors in judgment will be exposed. So it should here be remembered that the masses of men can and will take the first initiation, but that a very large group of aspirants, far larger than realized, will pass through the experience of the second initiation, that of the purifying baptism. And, you know, you can kind of see that on the way, not only the struggles of probationary humanity, but the struggles of those who are really seeking to enter the stream and to purify their personality and nature as a whole, but especially their astral nature, so that they are really rightly oriented towards the plan. This is going on constantly. These are the people who express the essential qualities of, and now we have, okay, so let's call this second initiation qualities here given. Okay, these are the people who express the essential qualities of ideological recognition. So they recognize what is the ideal because they are so conditioned by the sixth ray in general, the sixth ray of idealism and of devotion. So they express the essential qualities of ideological recognition, devoted adherence to truth as sensed. It's never going to be the complete truth at this point. Well, when can it be? When is the complete truth ever really known? But we can talk about the complete truth for a particular system, you know, a particular entity and the expression of that entity. Devoted adherence to truth as sensed, profound reaction to the physical disciplines imposed since they participated in the first initiation many lives earlier, maybe in most cases. These are, you know, because the second initiation is much separated from the first, usually, but apparently not always. If we, you know, turn to page 120 of Initiation Human and Solar, we see some alternative possibilities, and you do kind of wonder whether a very strong training along some intellectual, artistic line, perhaps even before the first initiation, makes it possible to take the second more rapidly than may be the general rule. Because whatever our accumulations are, they don't go away. They are stored. And if the combination of them makes a new attempt easier, then it will proceed faster. So all of these qualities are here, and a growing responsiveness to the aspirational aspect of the astral body. So basically, these are these are the requirements here of the first, of the second initiation. Essential qualities of ideological recognition. They are idealists. They are not totally lost in concrete things, and they see a better way ahead. Devoted adherence to the truth, and they hold the vision of truth, and they adhere to it. It can be limited or even wrong, but they hold to it. You can see that in various groups and among various types of people, much to the distress of those who might have them widen their point of view. They learned something about physical disciplines. It was a regime, not a regimen, not entirely completed at that time, and so they continue the physical disciplines. And this, there's a hint here about the first initiation having been taken many lives earlier, but I explained that there's some variability there and a growing responsiveness to the aspirational aspect of the astral body. Aspiration is key to this initiation, but since it is a scientific mode of elevation, it does not just disappear when the second initiation is taken, although different initiations may emphasize something other than aspiration. Still, it's sort of a boiling away there and propelling the initiate onwards. So this aspiration is occupied with reaching out towards contact with and expression of the mental principle. And this is what DK calls, you know, coupled with the, the urge to know. He says, you know, when you see that, the urge to know, let me get this correct. So when you see the requirements of the first initiation fulfilled, and you couple them, basically, he says, with the, with the urge to know, then maybe you see a candidate for the second initiation and the new group of world servers comprised inherently of second degree types, have to keep their eye open for the possible training of those who evidence the approach either to the first initiation or to the second. This particular group in the human family are, and this interesting way of putting it, Kama Monastic initiates. I guess Venus is involved there because it has a lot to do with Kama Manas. And just as those taking the first initiation are physico-etheric initiates. I think this is a very interesting way of describing these people. And you know, some of us, of course, may be among them, but once we really apply ourselves to the process of knowing and learning and deeply studying the spiritually occult texts such as the Tibetan is offering us, we are indicating that we're, you know, on our way towards the third degree, let's say, because we have achieved or are achieving a degree of mental illumination and spiritual intelligence, two of the major qualities to take the second degree and then move on developing those qualities, the quality especially of what's called intuitive instinct rather than simply spiritual instinct as at the first degree. Okay, so many expansions, I think, what we're seeing here lie before the human race and different sections of the human race, and it's up to us to kind of seek to understand where we stand in this process and the groups with whom we are working, comprised perhaps of many probationary initiates of the same caliber as we are. So we can locate ourselves in this path, upon this path towards spiritual progress. By observing closely our own nature and that of others in relation to the requirements. It must not be inferred from the above that humanity as a whole, we're talking about the need here for lots of fifth degree initiates in the immediate future. And so there's been a jump here of some hundreds of pages. It must not be inferred from the above that humanity as a whole will be taking the fifth initiation, for such is not the case, nor is it likely to be the case for a long, long time. We have another round to run before even some of those who have come from the moonshine will really solidly be on the path. So things seem to progress slowly, but at the present time, there is an acceleration in this vast range of possibility, the millions of years that it has taken. There is an acceleration on the path at this time due to the influence of certain great astronomical factors, and the change of ages and the change of the Platonic years, moving from the 25,000 approximately Platonic year of Pisces into the approximately 25,000 year Platonic year of Aquarius, and the influence of the equinoctial age of Aquarius lasting some 2,500 years. All of these things are very influential, plus the initiatory status and condition of our planetary logos, who is passing through some major stimulations. Okay, so many advanced souls, and this is interesting, of course, because the need is there, you know, perhaps amounting to many thousands. Let's see here. Got a little, such is not the case, yeah. Perhaps amounting to many thousands. Maybe I can make that work, right? May take this initiation. The fifth. Mel, remember that the fourth and fifth initiations can be taken in the same life, and the second, third, and fourth in the same life. We remember initiation human and solar, page 84 and 85. So, you know, it stands to reason. DK is very truthful, and he's non-exaggerative, you know. So many may take the fifth initiation, but it will be a huge pressure. But the masses of men everywhere, constituting the sum total of the world disciple, will eventually take either the first or second initiation. And much of this during the age of Aquarius, although in Capricorn, the initiatory work will continue intensively. And many more, I suppose, will take the third degree, and Capricorn ruling all five initiations. Perhaps the opportunity really continues there to go on to the higher initiations. The effect, however, of hierarchical happenings in conjunction with Shambhala will lead eventually to the great stimulation of the fifth principle of Manas, the intelligence principle of man, and let's just say very stimulated during the fifth ray age of Aquarius. Because after all, you know, the accompaniment of the seventh ray with the Aquarian age indicates that two cycles are operative. But whenever Aquarius is strengthened on its own and appears as an influence, the fifth ray is always borne along, because Aquarius transmits this fifth ray. A revelation which is not perceived, which remains unrelated and unexpressed, is of no true service to mankind except from a purely subjective standpoint. It may strengthen us subjectively, let us say. Nevertheless, through the proposed stimulation, through the efforts of those who have taken or will take the fifth initiation, the revelation as it's called, and through the new direction of first ray energy from Shambhala in ways we cannot conceive, although the Shambhala impacts have been occurring, the mental plane will receive such an inflow of energy that the thinking principle, the reasoning factor within humanity, will reach new heights. So somewhere in the age of Aquarius, the principle of Manas will reach its acme for this period. And as I say, Aquarius carries the fifth ray, and it's going to be a very scientific age. And of course, the fifth initiation, the revelation, if many more take it, they are in position to make revelation to humanity of some very high possibilities. So let us set our sights upon the possibilities, being not over anxious nor careless, and perhaps we will find ourselves during the Aquarian Age even numbered among those who can bring about this type of service and stimulation of humanity's mind that is now proposed. Now, you can see there would be some dangers here with the fifth ray, because one of the great dangers would be the isolation of the concrete mental sphere as a sphere unto itself, a kind of eighth sphere in another way. And this is a considerable tragedy, because then the people who undergo this veer off towards the left-hand path and develop their mind, lower mind, stupendously, but ignore the possibilities of higher degrees of divine love. And also the emergence of the separative, isolated personality can be greatly stimulated during this period. And strictly monastic magic can be stimulated during this period. So the heart and the love must counteract this tendency. It could be a very manipulative age in some ways, manipulative of matter. It's not necessarily what the idealists who think about Aquarius anticipate. There are many downsides to this energy if it is inappropriately used. So anyway, a great stimulation of the mind with all of its attendant possibilities and its attendant dangers. Thus will the light stream forth into the minds of men. And when will that happen? Well, I believe, I just read the other day, you know, that there's a lot of love energy going to be occurring during the Mercurian phase of the age of Aquarius, the smaller age of Aquarius. However, Mercury has loads of the fifth ray and third ray. Probably, I believe, it's a fifth ray monad and ultimately a third ray monad. So extremely mental in that respect, and very much related to the previous solar system, which was very mental. So maybe that acme of the development of the principle of Manas will occur during the Mercurian phase of the age of Aquarius, and the kind of mental stimulation that we're talking about, maybe it will occur in that age after we have struggled through the Saturnian period. Now, Saturn is also related to the development of the lower concrete mind. You know, you take a planet like Saturn and you can find its influences in many places on the cosmic physical plane. In a way, it's the permanent atom, physical permanent atom of the solar logos, and maybe, you know, on our planet it stands for that, but within the solar system it's considered to be the physical permanent atom. So it's ruling the entire cosmic physical plane. It's active on the atmic plane. It's active on the plane of mind, especially the lower mind. It's active physically in the density of the cosmic physical plane, namely the lower three subplanes of the etheric physical systemic plane, or solar plane, as it's sometimes called. So Saturn is active in many places, and the principle here is that if you look at any planet, you can find many areas of application. Let's just confine ourselves to the cosmic physical plane, because what else do we know? We don't even know that. So, but we think we know a little bit because we've been taught something. And we can find ways that, according to the form through which it is manifesting, the planets will have different effects. And in different subplanes and sub-subplanes and so forth of the cosmic physical plane. So you could take like any planet, you know. Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. It's going to have a lot to do with the lunar realm and with the ancient ancestral fires. But at the same time, it's a Buddhic planet. It's operative on the Buddhic plane, strongly giving the sense of wholeness. Maybe you might say that it expands the higher mind as well, and it certainly is a co-ruler of the monadic plane. So, you know, you can do that with all the planets. It would be interesting, and maybe that'll be an assignment at some time in one of the future schools to take all the planets and show how they may be active in different strata of their expression on the cosmic physical plane. It's tempting, you know, tempting to do that. I mean, take a look at Neptune. Neptune is very active on our systemic astral plane, but it's a major Buddhic planet, and it just stimulates the intuition on the fourth or Buddhic plane, and not to mention its monadic relationship, because it's so connected with Pisces as a special ruler. And, you know, the monad leaves the father's home, and turning back it saves. And the power of identification comes through the monad. And Neptune is the great planet of identification. The Christ was the great expert, as far as our humanity is concerned, in the art of identification. And then, of course, we're going to go up to the cosmic astral plane, where Neptune has to be very influential in the astral body of the planetary logos and even the astral body of the solar logos. So all of this kind of application, maybe I should do the three synthesizing planets here. The Uranus is veiled by the moon, a kind of a violet light. It has much to do with the systemic etheric plane. But if it has to do, well, it also has to do with the scientific mind on the lower mental plane. And it has to do with the monastic permanent atom, it being a planet which carries the third ray as well. And if you look at the spiritual triad of atmic permanent atom, Buddhic and monastic permanent atoms, Uranus would be there, but it causes the flash of intuition, the blinding light which reveals suddenly all that has been hidden in the dark. And so it will have a connection with the Buddhic plane. And Uranus is one of those strange planets that seems to have a 1-3-5-7 ray expression, but strangely enough is in some second ray lines, such as Sirius, Pisces, Uranus, and then on to the heart, heart hierarchy and heart center and all that. So it's got some second ray affiliation, and I've never been quite sure how to understand that. But, you know, let's go on. Uranus is a planet of the first ray. It's monad on the first ray, maybe is not totally expressive yet, but that ties it in with the atmic plane, doesn't it? And let's go further and finally find that it is often veiled by the sun in Leo, especially. And we have this Leonian plane called the Sea of Fire. It's logoic and Naturally, we would expect a first-rate planet that is veiled by the sun to be influential on the logoic level. So, you know, let's find a way to put the planets there. I think with some of the non-sacred planets, you're not going to find that they rise very high on the cosmic physical plane. Maybe Mars does not, Earth does not. I don't know about Pluto, because there is kind of a triangle that goes Aries, Pluto, Shambhala. So maybe something of Pluto rises high. I don't know. It's considered to be an esoteric planet, but it's also non-sacred and recently somewhat demoted, you know, to a planetoid or whatever. But then there's lots of things the occultists know that the present astronomers, as helpful as they are, they don't yet know. So anyway, assign the planets to the different levels of the cosmic physical plane and see what they do. And it all depends what you're working on, too, in your own life, you know. If you're working on, let's say, the spiritual will, then Atma, then Saturn is going to be very important. If you're working on really concretizing the mind and being distinct about what you say and careful, cautious in your reasoning, Saturn will be important there, you know. If you're working on fulfilling your karma, sort of karma yoga, on the physical plane, Saturn will be important there. So just generically, figure out what you're working on, you know, where your major polarization is, and then you can choose a planet which will be active and important on the level you are working. Then go into your horoscope and, you know, one of the layers of the horoscope anyway, and try to figure out how that works. You know, there's a lot we have to do by ourselves. The DK has given us various hints, but we, in the matter of application, just as each one of us has to figure out how to build the Antikarana basically by ourselves, in the matter of application, we have to take all that has been given and find a way to apply it. That's our job. Okay, so maybe a little more here. Petals open at the portal of initiation. Well, this is partially from some material that I have been commenting on, but let's just see. All these stages have to work out on all the three lower planes and the three lower bodies. This they do according to the particular ray and subray. In this fashion, the work of the disciple is carried forward and his testing and training carried out until the two circles of petals are unfolded and the third is organized. I mean, what do we have? You know, first organization and then unfoldment and then interactivity of the entire circle of three and then the kind of springing open of the three as a distinctive unit. So let's see where we are here. I was just choosing these random references that had not been covered. We're still in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Thus he is brought through right direction of energy and wise manipulation of force currents to the portal of initiation and graduates out of the Hall of Learning. The Hall of Learning consists of petals 4, 5, and 6. And have to do with the development of the personality along socio-cultural lines, you know, normal type of education, normal type of civilization, into the Great Hall of Wisdom, characterized at least in the beginning by petals number 7, 8, and 9. As we continue with synthesis, we're going to be growing in the Hall of Wisdom. That hall wherein he gradually becomes aware of forces and powers latent in his own ego, individually, yeah, and his egoic group. So I've developed all this at some point in different references, and I'm not going to discuss that because the issue of the first initiation is what we're dealing with. And I've said many things and written many things about these matters, so this is not what to take up at the moment. Although I am really interested as to where exactly this comes from. I assume a treatise on cosmic fire, and right. So let's just do that and see if I can maybe find it. Okay, there's only one, and I suppose it's right, page 867 in a treatise on cosmic fire. Okay, and let's see where we are in this. Right, well, I think, you know, all these things I've gone over in writing and probably have done a better job with it in the written commentary that can be found regarding a treatise on cosmic fire on Makara at the moment. So there is where I suggest you go rather than have me kind of improvise about it right at this point, because these references are kind of somewhat disjointed as it is, so I don't need to go off on a big tangent. Suffice it to say that when we really have the complete unfoldment of the second tier of petals, which is the hall of learning, we have the second initiation. And interesting that learning, the hall of learning rather than the hall of wisdom, is involved particularly with the probationary initiations or initiations of the threshold. Of course, there is a corresponding development, not complete yet, in the seventh and eighth petal. And there, only once the ninth petal is fully ready to unfold, do all the others unfold with it in fullness. So, as I say, you may begin work on a petal, but you're going to be working on other petals before the first one is completely finished. And, you know, it'd be interesting in our life to look at the kinds of things we do and, as it were, point to the petal involved in the doing of those things. You know, like if we fall into some kind of egotistical state where we are reverting back to a certain portion, that's all I can say at the moment, of the fifth petal. And when we're learning how to sacrifice something, at least individually, well, we're operative in the sixth petal. And when we're learning about even greater sacrifices, then maybe the ninth petal is being involved here in the circle called the sacrifice circle. So it's sacrifice is the ninth petal. Before that, we had a love sacrifice, and then we had a knowledge sacrifice. They are lesser degrees. I guess what I'm pointing out is that on the path to our spiritual development, different aspects of our internal energy system are being drawn upon and are being activated, and it would be nice to know which they are in correlation with what we are doing. You know, then we will tread the conscious path. We're going to be a lot more aware of what we're doing instead of just blundering on, as all of us have done at various times, and kind of colliding with that which we shouldn't collide with, and then having to make up for it and balance the karma and so forth. So let us tread as much as possible the conscious way. And that's what Master DK is helping us do, to tread the path in a conscious manner, alert, observant, knowing the energies involved, rather than just mystically longing for something to happen. And it might, but we can't reproduce how it happened. And if we take the mental scientific way, then we can always, just about always, reproduce what is the desirable outcome. So in the age of Aquarius, which will be a scientific age more and more, we'll be able to tread the conscious way and the intellectually alive method. We cannot, and it will be as well a combination of manas and buddhi, because the intuition will be stimulated. So many scientists have their intuition stimulated if they are of the high kind, you know. A lot of the people who are unveiling the mysteries of matter, they've been in the fifth ray ashram, and now, well, they're still in the fifth ray ashram, even though it's been a little bit put under the control of the third ray and not left to be autonomous. They have definitely used the intuition to come up with some of the things that they now bring to us. Okay. Let's see if there's a little more to go here, or whether we should just think about... I'll just do this one. And it's something that I said before, and that's really important. And it's from Cosmic Fire again, 696. On the Buddhic plane, when flashing forth at initiation, this number signifies the full development of the fifth principle or quality. That is, in a way, the soul principle, it is the mind principle, the completed cycle of the ego upon the five rays of the Mahachohan, the Brahma cycle, we might say. Personality is completed, the Vishnu cycle is beginning, Christ is entering as the initiator at the beginning of the Vishnu cycle. And the assimilation of all that is to be learned upon them, and the attainment not only of full self-consciousness, but also of the consciousness of the group wherein a man is found. We looked before on page 39 about these different egoic groups and even Buddhic and Atmic groups, not yet though, here. It infers, now, this is an important point really, it infers the full unfoldment of five of the egoic petals, leaving four to open before the final initiation. What is that? Is it the third, or is it the fourth? I have a feeling here that, let's just say, nine petals open before or at the third initiation. But, you know, they're opening maybe certain types of interaction and interplay, and all that continues as we move on towards the fourth degree. So anyway, five petals open at the first initiation. Four more to go before the final initiation. It's calling the final initiation here the fifth initiation. So in this context, the final initiation is the fifth initiation. So, I guess what I want there is to make all of that blue so we can distinguish it from the black writing, in this case, from Master DK. Well, you know, on and on we study, on and on, and it all starts to come together, and we become illumined, and the light looks great to us, but it's still paltry compared to the greater lights, and on and on and on and on, until we find the greatest light possible in this universe, which is still paltry when compared with the revelation of absolute infinity in the post-pralayic, pre-universal state. Okay, so let's say then that this is the end of extra references, first initiation commentary, webinar. There's got to be a way here. I'm always missing my codes. Extra references. Okay, so it's that's it. ER, and this is it here. Extra references for the first. FTF, IVC. ERFTF. Okay, ER FT FIVC. All right, got it. Expert references for the first initiation video commentary, and this has been number 9, and the date is the 2nd of July, 2018, and then we're going to have the beginning of extras. I get another chance. Extra references for the first initiation video commentary. I got it. Number 10. Well, I hope you can follow some of this. I know you can, and the skill to do that will develop as we go. Now, obviously, I'm not Master DK here, nor do I have the clarity or the knowledge or the certainty that he has, but I'm trying to at least help us connect certain things. And what you bear in mind here is that when you've succeeded in unfolding the love petal, so that it is fully unfolded, you pass through the stage of the aspirant and the usual way of regarding the probationer, and you have become a first degree initiate. And there's up there in the sacrifice petals, there is activity, especially in the 7th petal, and increasing activity in the 6th, which will unfold completely, with the result being that you will be a second degree initiate. Interesting that unfoldment of the 6th petal must be rather slow because so many lives can elapse between the first and second initiation. So you see how those pieces of information are put together. All right, well, I've gone over a little bit, and I think it's time to call it. Yeah. Here we are. Okay, very good, and we'll see you. Study hard, and hopefully you can gather something out of this particular method of presentation, which is a lot of cross-referencing. Now, of course, you have to establish some knowledge of the original before you can cross-reference, obviously, right? But do your best, and the light will grow.